नैव इह किंचन अग्र आसीत्। मृत्यु नैवेदम आवृतम आसीत् अशनायया। अशनाया हि मृत्यु तन्मन अकुरुत आत्मन्विष्यामिति। दिस इज अ पैसेज विद ग्रेट सिग्निफिकेंस फ्रॉम द पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू ऑफ फिलोसॉफिकल टेक्निक employed in the understanding of the relation between the individual and the universal. This pithy symbolic statement in the Upanishad, very hard indeed to understand, conveys a wealth of meaning. What exactly is the connection between the diverse individuals and the universal absolute? This has been a great point of discussion throughout the history of philosophy, and it is not easy to come to a conclusion. Often it is thought that the universal is a collection of all the individuals or particulars. Many a time we are told by philosophers that the absolute is the whole and the individual are the parts thereof. So that to get the absolute, you have only to collect all the individuals and group them together. Which means to say, anything that you find in the individual will be found in the absolute. There will be nothing more in the absolute than what you see in the individual. This also will follow, if this conclusion is correct. And it is a very uncomfortable conclusion, because we are not seeking in the absolute merely what is in us. And a million people put together cannot qualitatively be superior to what a single individual is. It is also held that the absolute is transcendent, in the sense that it has no connection at all with the visible universe. Often it is also held that the absolute is so much absorbed in the universe that you cannot find it outside the universe. So we have theories and theories and doctrines and doctrines. This Upanishad, in this one single sentence, tells us what the fact is. The original condition precedent to the manifestation of diversity is the depth of universality. This is what is called mrityu. The depth of something becomes the birth of something else. For the birth of the individual, the universal has to die. Very strange indeed. We can't understand what it means. The death of the universal means the complete abolition of the consciousness of the universal. And for all practical purposes, death and absence of consciousness are same. The condition that is requisite, absolutely necessary for the manifestation of the universe in the form of this diversity, is an abolition of the consciousness of the absolute. Because there is no question of manifestation in the absolute. Manifestation requires space, time and cause and many other things that follow. If the absolute is spaceless and timeless, durationless, infinitude, eternity, the question of creation, manifestation does not arise there. Then how come this universe? From where has this universe arisen, or the diversity come? It can be explained, says this Upanishad, by a strange phenomenon that should be assumed to have taken place. if at all creation is to be taken as a fact. The consciousness of the existence of the universe is different from the consciousness of the Absolute. The two are not identical, is a point that is made out here. Once the existence of the universe is accepted in consciousness, everything else that follows from it can also be accepted. If 2 and 2 make 4, 4 and 4 make 8, and so on and so forth, arithmetically you can draw conclusions. But 2 and 2 must make 4. You must accept that. If that is not true, that any multiplication thereof also is not true. There is a distinction between Absolute Consciousness and Universe Consciousness. That distinction is the cause behind this difference drawn here between pure being that is absolute and the condition precedent to creation. It is difficult for the human mind to understand what the absolute is. Whatever be your stretch of imagination, you can't conceive it. Because every conception is quantitative and qualitative. The absolute is neither a quality nor a quantity. And therefore, no thought of it is possible. Even the subtlest thought that can be applied to the absolute is, after all, a magnified form of the quantity-quality relation in the terms of which alone the mind is able to think. There is no such thing as thinking the absolute. Such a thing is not possible. Because the thought which thinks the absolute cannot exist independent of the absolute. Because what we call the absolute is that which includes everything, including even the mind. So the mind that thinks the absolute is a part of the absolute itself. And therefore, the mind cannot think the absolute. It is a very, very reasonable conclusion. Inasmuch as the thinker is involved in what is thought, there is no such thing as thinking at all in terms of that. Either the absolute is outside the mind, in which case it ceases to be the absolute, or it is not an object of thought. It is not even a concept for the philosophical disquisitions. But that being the nature of the absolute, you cannot attribute any quality that is visible in the universe of creation. What about dimensions? 3 dimensions, for instance. The 3-dimensional universe, which is of space and of time, which is duration, cannot be correlated with the absolute if this is its character, this is its nature, and this is the essence of its being. In order that the universe may manifest, some phenomenon should take place. And that phenomenon is described here as mrityu. And mrityu here does not mean the ordinary phenomenon of death or destruction of body. It is a metaphysical concept that is introduced here. It is a tentative withdrawal of the consciousness of the absolute and a manifestation of a will universal which embodies within itself in a seed form everything that you call the gross universe. The will of God is supposed to be the originator of the universe, as we hear of proclaimed in the scriptures of religions. The God of the universe, who is the creator, manifested through his will. Now, attribution of will to God is indeed a difficult task, because as far as we know, will is a psychological function and it can be defined in certain specific manners. But the definition of the will, as we have in psychology, is something which cannot be attributed to a God who is universal. However, we have to assume a different kind of will, and the will which is responsible for the projection of the universe in a seed form originally can be described as a kind of potency or potentiality or latency of being, as the seed may be said to be the latency of the tree. The vast banyan tree, which is so big, grows towering to the skies, is hiddenly present in a very tiny seed, as you know. We may say the seed is the potential condition of the tree, though if you cut the seed, you cannot see anything of the tree. Visibly, there is nothing. But you have to infer the presence of all the diversity of the tree banyan in this little seed, which is so tiny. Likewise, a condition is assumed which is the potential seed of all the diversities to be manifest. Now, many thinkers of the topmost caliber in the field of philosophy have held that the cause of creation is not a desire on the part of God, as many would ordinarily think, because it is impossible to imagine that God can have a desire. Acharya Shankara and such other thinkers tell us that the cause of the universe is not the desire of God, just as the moon shining in the sky is not the cause of the thief breaking into somebody's house. A very beautiful analogy. If with the help of moonlight some burglar enters somebody's house, the action of burgling cannot be imputed to the moon, because he is responsible in some way in shedding light to the thief. Likewise, is the presence of the will of God in the process of the manifestation of the universe, the activity of creation or the substance, the material of creation, is in some way distinguished from the efficient cause of creation. The efficient cause of creation is the potency of God's will, which does not desire the world to be created, but becomes necessary for the manifestation of the universe in a particular fashion. The fashion, the pattern, or the shape which the universe takes in a particular cycle of time is supposed to be the grossened form of the subtle psychological or psychic potencies present in the individuals who lay unliberated at the end of the previous cycle, or the kalpa as we call it. The individuals who are not liberated at the end of the world lie potent, latent, seed-like in the bosom of the cosmos, and they are said to lie for as long a time as the universe did last earlier. Such is the night of Brahma, as the scriptures tell us, as was the day of Brahma earlier. Now, during this night of the cosmos, which is compared to the cosmic waters in some mythologies, here also the waters will be mentioned. The cosmic waters mentioned in creative or cosmological theories are nothing but the original condition of things subsequent to the dissolution of the cosmos and prior to the creation later on, during which period the unliberated individuals lie like seeds about to sprout. Now, a particular group of individuals, they may be millions, 100 millions, thousands of millions, whatever they be, are grouped together into a particular category. And this grouped category of individuals, in their generality of psychic structure, become responsible for the material shape which the universe has to shape after the fructification of these potencies take place. Just as the seed does not sprout into a tree at all times, it requires conditions such as proper atmosphere, good climate, rain and a suitable soil, etc. The individuals who are lying in a seed form do not sprout into activity until maturity takes place. This maturity is supposed to take place something like the waking up of the individual from sleep. How long do you sleep in the night? As long as it is necessary for the psychic potencies to wake up into activity. The awakening of the psychic potencies within into activity is called waking from sleep, which happens to us every day. So how long you sleep every day depends upon the kind of psychic content in your mind at the end of a particular day. And when that potency fructifies into action, there is sudden shaking up of the personality and you wipe your eyes and wake up into the daylight of consciousness. Something like that is supposed to take place cosmically during the time of creation. The individuals collectively feel the fructification of their psychic contents and they germinate into action. And the world that is manifest, the universe that is projected, is of a character which is necessary for the fulfillment of the desires left unfulfilled by the individuals during the time of the dissolution of the universe earlier. So such is a very interesting doctrine propounded by thinkers like Acharya Shankara. You will find it in the Brahma Sutras especially mentioned in a very concise form. Perhaps this doctrine is based on the Upanishads, which are more concise and less clear in their exposition. Here we have such a type of doctrine of creation which makes out that the consciousness of the world is the reverse of the consciousness of the Absolute, which is something very strange for us to hear and even understand. It is not a part of the Absolute that you are seeing when you are looking out into the world. You are seeing something topsy-turvy, reversed form. As you see yourself, for example, reversed in water as a reflection. When you stand on the bank of the Ganga and see yourself reflected, you will find the head which is topmost will be the lowermost there. The feet which are the lowermost will be the uppermost in the reflection. So there is a complete reversal of the position of the body when it is reflected. Some such thing is said to have taken place at the time of the creation, so that when you see a head of yours in the reflected water, it appears to be your head, but it is not really your head. The head that you see is reflected in water looks like your head. And it is exactly like your head. You may mistake it for your head, but it is not your head, you know very well. Likewise, you may mistake these things of the world for the Absolute, but they are not. In the same way, as you may think the reflected head is yours, but it is not. And also, another analogy is given in a passage of the Katha Upanishad as to what happens in creation. There is a reversal of the whole position. As your face is reversed in a mirror when it is reflected, the right becomes left, the left becomes right. So that the subject becomes the object and the object becomes the subject when the creation takes place. This is the essence of the whole matter. Very interesting, very comforting indeed. You can imagine where you are seated and what has happened to you. God has played a very beautiful joke with us, made us great fools, turned us down upside by positing the subject in the context of the object, and the object in the context of the subject. Really, we are the objects. The universe is the subject. This is the truth. But we think we are the subjects, and the universe is the object, and gaze at it, look at it, try to exploit it for our own individual purposes under the misapprehension that we are the subjects. We are subjects in the same sense as the reflected has is your head. So, in this reversal of the position of the Absolute, which is called mrityu or destruction or death here, well, it is destruction. When you mistake one thing for another thing by completely forgetting the original, you are destroyed, in fact. And you are in a different paradise altogether, where you are in illusions. And consciousness gets reflected wherever there is this reversed position cognized or felt, there consciousness attends. So there is a reflected consciousness also. So the entire personality of yours may be, of ours may be said to be a reflected structure. Even the intellect is a reflection of the consciousness of God. It is not a qualitatively equivalent to the consciousness of God. It does not mean that a tiny part of God is in our brains. Not so. It is reflected, which means distorted. The sun reflected in water may look like the sun, but he does not have the quality of the sun. He will not burn you. You cannot warm up yourself by the reflected sun in the water. And many other things follow. So, there is a diversity in the form of this creation made possible by a reversal of the position of the ultimate reality, and that reversed position assumes a consciousness of its own. That is what is called the universal mind. It becomes attended with self-consciousness. Atmanvi Siyam Iti. I am. The cosmic I am is therefore something less than the Absolute. It is a condition that has to be accepted subsequent to the reversal, which again has to be assumed prior. The cosmic mind, Hiranyagarbha, as we call in the Vedanta, is the cosmic I am. It is self-consciousness universal. And here is the seed of this diversity. In a sense, we may say that we are parts of this cosmic mind. But not indeed correctly, even here. I pointed out to you how we cannot regard ourselves as parts of the Absolute. How nothing that we see with our eyes can be regarded as a real representation of the Absolute. Now we have to understand that we are not parts even of the Hiranyagarbha. We are much less than that. We are far, far down below the condition of Hiranyagarbha and Virat. For reasons we will see shortly. For the time being, it is enough if you understand the actual meaning of this passage. There was a destruction, a mrityu, a complete abolition of reality, which was what the Sankhyas called the Prakriti, the Vedantins called Maya, Mula Prakriti, etc. A potential being, the matrix of the universe. That becomes the seed for the manifestation of the cosmic mind known as Mahat and cosmic Ahankara. Vedanta calls them Hiranyagarbha and Virat. Saha, Archan, Acharat, Tasya Archadha Apo Jayanta, Archademe Kamabhuditi, Tadeva Arkasya Arkatvam. Kam hava asme bhavati sa evam etat அர்க்கஸ்ய அர்க்கத்வம் வேத. One who knows this phenomenon assumes power over this phenomenon, becomes that. Is the advice with which the passage concludes. The cosmic condition is thus to be described. The mind which was created cosmically in this manner by a reversal of the content of the Absolute, this cosmic condition is the seed of the universe. This seed of the universe we call Ishvara, we call Hiranyagarbha, we call Virat in various degrees of density manifestation. It assumed a joy. It became the energy of the universe. It became Vaishvanara. Here the word Arka is sometimes taken to mean cosmic fire, or we may say universal energy, which is also the same as the great joy of the universal. Kam means joy, happiness. There is a happiness which is untarnished and undiminished in this condition on account of the retention of universality. Though it is the seed form of all diversity, the conditions of Hiranyagarbha and Virat are potential diversities, no doubt, but not manifest diversities. What we call diversity responsible for the sorrow of the individual has not taken place yet. There is no sorrow in Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara, though there is a potential diversity. The reason is, there is universal consciousness maintained yet in spite of the potentiality of diversity. There is an organic connectedness of things in Virat and above. And the consciousness of this organic interconnectedness is maintained. And therefore, on account of the absence of the loss of universality there, the joy of the universal also is present. Whoever knows this becomes that. And knowing this is also equal to have the power of it. Knowledge and power are identical. So, the knowledge of it is necessary by being it in meditation. And then there is power that is unlimited, power that is born of unlimited knowledge on account of unlimited being. Apova arkaha tat yadapam shara asit samahanyata. Here again we have some description of the condensation or dense form of things gradually taking place in the process of creation. Subtle becomes gross. The cosmic waters hardened as it were, become solid gradually. The earth element was formed. By the earth element, what is meant here is not merely this little globe of the earth on which we are living, but the entire earth principle of the whole astronomical universe, through which your eyes cannot pass. The whole element of earth can be regarded as the solidified form of this cosmic condition, the subtle nature of things which is called here waters. It's solidified. From fire comes water, from water comes earth. This is the chronological order of creation of the gross forms, ordinarily speaking. Sa prithivya bhavat, that became the earth, the crossland form of things. Tasya, tasyam ashrantasya shrantasya taptasya tejo raso nivartata agri. Here is the end of cosmic creation. There is a famous passage in a text of Vedanta known as Panchadashi, written by Sage Vidyaranya, who describes this in one shloka. Itranadi praveshanta srit rishena kalpita jagradari vimokshanta samsaro jiyo kalpita. This passage of the Upanishads and such other passages are given their meaning in this verse of Panchadashi. Icharanadi praveshanta satya rishena kalpita. Ishvara's creation or God's creation ends with the manifestation of the universal physical form. And God is not responsible for what the individual is experiencing. The loves and sorrows, the joys and pains, the births and deaths of the individual are not created by God. They are created by some other factor which is not to be attributed to God. The condensation of the cosmos right from the causal condition up to the physical through the subtle may be said to be the manifesting activity of God. That is called Ichanadi Praveshanta Sritti Ishana Kalpita. He becomes the all and becomes also the consciousness of all. But the reversal of attitude, the considering the object as the subject and the subject as the object, and the desire to grab objects for the purpose of satisfaction, and the capacity to fulfill certain desires and the incapacity to fulfill certain others, the getting fatigued in personality on account of the inability to fulfill all desires, falling into sleep every day on account of the potent condition of desires unfulfilled, etc., etc., they are all the phenomena of individual, not of the cosmic being. Jagradadi vimokshanta samsaro jiva kalpita. Even the process of moksha is not God's creation, because God has no moksha. He is always in state of moksha only. So the process of bondage and liberation, the cycle of births and deaths and joys and sorrows and activity, name, form, everything is an outcome of certain subsidiary characters assumed by the individual isolated from this universal. So that we may say that there is no sorrow up to the point of Virat. Sorrow starts after that, when there is a split into the diverse individuals who regard themselves as self-contained, self-sufficient, self-exhausted individuals. Each one of us regards oneself as complete. There is nothing lacking in us. This is a misconception. We lack everything. But we think we are complete in ourselves, so that we have a soul of our own. An entire soul which is entirely ours, independent, unconnected with others. This is called the ego principle, which affirms a total isolation of oneself from others. This has happened subsequently. And anything that follows out of it is the responsibility of the jiva, not of Ishvara. So, here we have a description of creation up to the process of point of Virat. Tejo raso nivartata agrihi. A luminous essence, which we may call the cosmic fire, emanated from this condition, which is the outrush of the creative process. That luminous cosmic essential being, the fire universal, is what we call Vaishvanara or Virat. Then what happens? We are slowly to come down to our sorrowful state. Not yet begun, but going to begin. The intermediary conditions are described. Prior to the manifestation of gross and individualities, there are certain intermediary stages, the division of the Virat into the tripartite being known in technical language as Adhyatma, Adhibhuta, Adhideva. There is no such thing as Adhyatma, Adhibhuta, Adhideva in Virat. All three are one there. But these three have to be separated and conceived separately for the purpose of subsequent creation. That point is slowly being arrived at in these passages. Satredhatmanam Vyakuruta. Threefold is the manifestation subsequent to this condition. Adityam Tritiyam Vayum Tritiyam. Sa esha prana stredha vihita. Here prana means the cosmic prana Hiranyagarbha or Virat. He assumed a threefold form. The transcendent, the objective and the subjective. Prior to this, there were no such distinctions of transcendent, the objective and the subjective. Now we have the God who is above, world which is outside and ourselves here. This tripartite distinction has taken place. So when we pray to God, we look up as if He is above. He was not above previously, now He has become above. We have lost Him. He has run up to the skies as it were. And the world is outside us. And we are looking at it. And we are here as imagined subjects. We are subjects falsely arrogated to ourselves. This is perhaps the fall described in the biblical context, the Satan falling, assuming individuality, independent of God. The assumption of individuality immediately calls for a transcendent creator and an external universe. The moment you become conscious of yourself as an isolated being, you begin to see an outside world. And you have to conceive, not perceive, a transcendent God. Here God becomes merely a conception and not an object of perception. Originally He was an act of, content of direct perception. He was a part of being, existence, vitality, the soul itself. Now He has escaped our grasp, flown above us, become transcendent, and remained only as a theoretical creator for our prayers and worships. What we physically see is only the world of gross objects towards which we run every moment of time, assuming that we are the sole monarchs of this world and we are the rulers of things. An assumption falls indeed for reasons very obvious. So this cosmic prana Hiranyagarbha Virat assumed a threefold aspect. Adi, Bhautika, Adhyatmika, Adhidevika. As I mentioned, the objective or the physical, the subjective or the psychic and the transcendent, which is the invisible divine content. Tasya prajid dishaha asau chaso chermau athasya pratiji dikpucham asau chaso cha sathriyo dakshinadodiji taparshve dyav purishtam andarikshamu daram yamuraha sa eshosu pratishthito yatra kvajaiti tadeva pratishthiti pratitishthati evam vidwan. Here, again, the Upanishad brings us back by a simhavalokana, as it were, a retrospective look to the unity of things in spite of the tripartite diversification that has taken place. In spite of this threefold manifestation, which is apparently a segmentation of creation into three different corners, unconnected with one another, in spite of this segmentation, there is a unity among them. That point is brought out here in this analogy, which describes the unity present in the midst of this tripartite diversity, by the comparison of this state with that of the horse in the Ashwamedha sacrifice, and also in terms of a particular shape the sacrificial ground takes in the Ashwamedha sacrifice, the shape of a bird. The sacrificial ground is drawn in a particular shape. That shape is of a bird. So, that bird is described here, or you may say the horse itself is described. Both comparisons are apt. The eastern direction of this sacrificial ground, of this drawing which is of the shape of a bird, or of this Ashwamedha sacrificial horse, of this the eastern direction is the head, and the various limbs are described further. Its arms are the intermediary quarters, the western direction is its tail. Well, the tail may be of the bird or of the horse. And again, the sides of the body are the other intermediary quarters. The southern direction and the northern direction are the sides of the body. The sky is the back. The atmosphere is the belly. This earth is the chest. And this is the description of the cosmic condition. This Virat description is to be found in the sacrificial diagrams of the Ashwamedha sacrifice, as also in temple constructions. The temple, especially in South India, you will find, are constructed in the shape of the Virat. The Holy of Holies inside is the head of the Virat, which is represented by a luminous glow of a sacred light in a dark room, comparable to the Anandamaya Kosha, which is dark but illumined by the Atman within, and encompassed by seven prakaras or corridors. Sometimes five, comparable to the five koshas or the vestures of the body, annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya, the physical, vital, mental, intellectual, causal sheets. And there is the balipita at the very beginning, which is represented by a huge post. You will find in temples in North India, we don't see mostly, but in Southern India they are very famous, where the offering is made. Before you enter the body of the Virat, you have to offer yourself first. Otherwise, no entry is possible. You have to pay a fee to the Virat before you gain access into him. And the fee is your own self. You have to cease to be first as you are now, in order that you may become what you want to become. This is symbolically represented in the temple constructions, and also in the patterns drawn in the Ashwamedha sacrifice. That pattern is described here in its correlation with the parts of the world or the universe. So such is the geometrical description of the creation of the universe with its deep philosophical significance and spiritual connotation. Hari Om Tatsat. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishtate. Om Shanti 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 Shanti.